I've been asked to talk about our leadership retreat, which took place in the first weekend in February. We met at the Resurrection Lodge in Camp Crislin. It was cold. Our retreat began on Friday evening and continued through Saturday afternoon. So we had a session Friday evening, we had a session Saturday morning, and we had a session also on Saturday afternoon. Our presenter, Gordon Carpenter, is a pastor of a church in York, Pennsylvania. And for several years, he has been teaching courses on spiritual transformation. Much of what we learned is the same information you are learning in our Lenten study, Sacred Rhythms. I learned a lot, but will share only a few things at this time. First, and I thought this was important to mention because I don't know if any of you are struggling through some of the parts of Sacred Rhythms as I am, but during the session that we had up in Crislin, I personally found aspects of the spiritual transformation process really difficult. Asking me to sit quietly and clear my mind is really a big frustration for me. I am task-oriented, a doer, and I can honestly say I cannot calm or quiet my mind for more than a minute or two before thoughts of what I need to do next or how to problem-solve a situation starts to creep into my head. Gordon shared that it took him years to be able to achieve quieting his mind for a significant amount of time. So I thought that was important to mention because I think sometimes when we try something and it's difficult, we give up. And so he really encouraged us to stick with it and to continue to try and make the process work. He suggested finding a place or a space that you can go to daily for connecting with God. His place was, he had a little room upstairs, as he explained, kind of like a study with lots of books. And so he would take his coffee up there every morning, and that's where he would sit and talk with God. From this, I realized that I needed to make a commitment of a spiritual time to spend with God each day. I really do feel God's presence when I sing music or listen to music a lot of times, or when I'm out in nature. But of course, I can only be out in nature during the spring and the fall and the summer. In the wintertime, I need to do something else. I have some of my best conversations with God when I am working in my gardens. And so I feel that what I will do is during the seasons where I'm able to be outside or walk outside or work in my garden outside, that's when I will find my time to be with God. But during the wintertime, I'm going to have to do something else. Lastly, the best part of the retreat for me was the opportunity to share some time with part of my church family. I went to bed and missed out on the hot apples to apples game. It seemed to be a big highlight. But I did have time to get to know and share thoughts with many members of our session. I have always felt that God places people around us to support and encourage us. I have learned so much by watching and talking with my church family. I am so blessed to have all of you to support me in this journey of faith. And now I get to sing to the glory of God.
Please pray with me. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, which is a guide to us, which tells us about you, but also tells us about ourselves. Your word teaches us who we are and who you are so that we can have relationship with you. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would make your word come alive to us, that it would accomplish its purposes for us today, that we would come before your word humbly and ready to hear what you have for us and to respond in trust. We pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would open our hearts and our minds and our wills to receive what you have for us this day. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We have two passages this morning, Isaiah 55, 6 through 11. And in your bulletin, the reference is wrong, but the text is right for the second passage. It is actually Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Isaiah 55, beginning at verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And then Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. For the word of God is active and alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces, it penetrates, even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Both of these passages are invitations. The Isaiah passage begins with these words in verse 1. Come to me, all you are who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promised to David. God is inviting the people to come to him, to receive all that he has for them. And then Hebrews, the first 11 verses of chapter 4 of Hebrews is a discourse on the people of Israel wandering in the desert and seeking rest. And God promised them the promised land, but some never got there because they didn't have faith. And then picking it up at verse 9, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. God invites us. God, as we have often heard and said, is a gentleman. He does not force his will and plan on people, but he invites us into fellowship with him. And that invitation is found throughout the words of Scripture, and Scripture is in large part an invitation, a love letter, a welcome to people to receive what God has for them, and we receive it through faith. And an invitation calls for a response. If I send you an invitation but you don't respond, you do not benefit from whatever I'm inviting you to. It's just the way it works. And God invites us into fellowship with himself. He invites us to put ourselves before his word and to receive what his word has for us, but we must respond. We must go ahead and do it in order to receive the benefit, in order to enjoy the feast that he is preparing for us, in order to enjoy the rest that he is preparing for us. The parallels in the Hebrews passage of rest for the people of God are between the promised land and eternity, and also between life without God and life in fellowship with God. When we find fellowship with God, we find rest for our souls. But these passages both include a warning in Isaiah that if you don't come, you don't receive. A warning in Hebrews that if you don't respond, you don't enter rest. If you don't have faith, if you don't trust God, you don't enter that rest. So it is important for us, as those who believe, to respond to God's invitation. And we respond to God's invitation to approach his word with at least three things. First, with our heart. Second, with humility. And thirdly, with hope. First, our heart. It's interesting. The spiritual disciplines really force us out of a certain model of reading Scripture, a certain model of interacting with Scripture that many of us have been trained to practice, and that is reading Scripture for content. And there is nothing wrong with reading Scripture for content, but the spiritual disciplines take us to a different level, which is to read the Scriptures, to experience the Scriptures for interaction with God. It's not just for information anymore, it's for transformation. It is not just to know more, it is to experience more. A lot of times, the other model on its own, just reading Scripture for information, can lead people to a false sense of security. In fact, people tend to surround themselves with biblical knowledge, but if you have all the knowledge in the world, but don't trust it, don't apply it to your heart, it doesn't help you. Jesus said to those he was teaching, he said, "The devil knows. The enemy knows all about me. The enemy knows all these truths." But it does him no good because he doesn't trust in me. He doesn't have a relationship with me. It is important to read the Scripture as an invitation and as a love letter. And Ruth Haley Barton, in the book that we're going through, Sacred Rhythms, makes this distinction. She says, if you're reading the newspaper, you read it and then you throw it away. You've gotten the information you need, you have what you want, and you don't need it anymore. But a love letter, for many people, is something that they cherish. Even in cleaning out homes, grandchildren or children have found stacks of love letters that their parents wrote to each other because those letters were important to them. They couldn't throw them away. In fact, in those early stages, people read them over and over and over again. And some of you may still do that, finding those old love letters or hopefully new love letters from the same person that you read over and over again, because it's not just about learning, it's about experiencing, it's about relationship, and that is how we should approach the Scripture. But we have to approach it with humility. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and then he will have mercy on them." We put aside our biases and our assumptions when we read the Word. It is very important, whenever we approach the Word of God, to do so humbly, to allow God to speak, and to be very careful that what we receive from God, or we believe we receive from God, we check against the rest of Scripture so that we know that we are in line with what God has revealed. It's important that we let God be God. It's a real problem in our age that people want to create their own God. They want to take a little piece from this religion, take a little piece from this religion, and put it all together into something that works for them, or they think it does. The problem is that then your God becomes yourself, because it is your mind and your heart that decides who God is. Now, if you have a creator that made you, it doesn't work that way, because the creator decides who the Creator is. The Creator knows who the Creator is. And God, in His rich mercy, has revealed to us who He is. We don't make up God. God created us. So it's vitally important for us to read the Word humbly, putting aside our biases, putting aside what we think we want to see, and allowing the Word to speak. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That phrase is echoed throughout Scripture. In Hebrews, we have great reason to be humble before the Word of God. In fact, we have reason to be fearful before the Word of God, for the words that are used here, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We can think we have everything together. We can present a good self to the world that looks great. We can control that self. We can control our image. But God doesn't look at that. He looks at our hearts. So whatever our motivations are, God knows them. Whatever impurity there is within us, God knows it. All these things are laid bare. In verse 11, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. And that laid bare is a very strange choice of word for the writer of Hebrews. It conveys a whole lot of meaning that we might not want to understand, but I'm going to help you understand it. The word is a word picture of pulling back the head and exposing the neck. It's a word picture that brings back the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, where the animal was held and the neck was pulled back so that the knife could slice through. In other words, we stand before a God who knows us and has every reason to judge us. Therefore, we best be humble. But then, the writer of the Hebrews, in a great act of grace and mercy, reminds us that even though God has that authority, even though God could rightly lay us bare, God is gracious. We have a great high priest who has ascended to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. God says, come to me, knowing, yes, that I am the judge, but also knowing that all of your sins are put away. They're put far away, so far away that I no longer see them. Come to me because Jesus Christ has conquered all of the things that separate you from me. Come to me with confidence because Jesus Christ is your intercessor. Jesus Christ stands at God's side and God sees you through the lens that is Jesus Christ. In other words, God sees you as righteous, as sinless. God sees nothing in you, if you are in Christ, that keeps Him from loving you, that keeps Him, that would cause Him to judge you. And we all know there are judge-worthy things in ourselves, but our trust is in Jesus Christ, in the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. And it's not just that Jesus Christ accomplished this, separated from us. Jesus Christ came into humanity to accomplish this work. Jesus Christ understands the weaknesses of humanity. He knows what it's like to live with struggles. He knows what it's like to live with pain. He knows what it's like to live as a human being. And therefore, He is compassionate. Therefore, we do not have to be afraid when we come before Him because we are forgiven and because He cares about us. So we come to Him with hope. Scripture says, those who hope in God will not be disappointed. Do you want the fulfillment promised in Isaiah? Do you want the rest promised in Hebrews? Then let the Word of God work in you by coming to the Word, not just for information, but for transformation. Let it work in your soul to accomplish God's purposes. And the spiritual discipline that we're looking at in connection with this is called Lectio Divina. It is a way of reading Scripture that is much, much slower than what we would do if we're just getting information. It is very deliberate, and it is very intentionally relational. It is a way to let God speak through His Word and to respond to God very intimately about what God is telling us. So what we're going to do is practice Lectio Divina if you're in the small group, you've done this already. Lectio Divina involves, Ruth Haley Barton has 5 R's. We just have 4 that we're going to look at today. But the first is to read the passage. I find that the R's are much more helpful to me than the Latin. So I generally ignore the Lectio and the Meditatio and the Ora, whatever. And look at the reading it. Now you're all trying to say it. Read it, get a sense of what it is saying, read it a second time, and listen for any words or phrases that strike you, and listen in your heart. It's a very different thing to listen in your heart, but that's what we're called to do here. Then, once you get a sense of what God has said, any word or phrase that strikes you, when you read it the third time, read it slowly, and as you pause on the words or phrases that strike you, take time to consider what the word, phrase, or passage means, particularly in your life. Then respond. Read the passage again slowly. Consider how God has spoken to you in this passage and respond back to Him. Consider ways that it is asking you to act differently. And Barton has that the 5th resolve, which is, I just included in the responding, resolve to do whatever it is that the passage is calling you to do. And then finally, remain or rest. Take some time after this process just to rest in the presence of God. So we're going to do that. It must, by the fact that we don't have a lot of time left, be an abbreviated time, or maybe not. As Carol said, these things take time to learn. They take time to grow into. Maybe initially you'll want to experience these things in a very shortened form, as we will do today, and then grow into a deeper and maybe longer time of interacting with the Word. And it's going to be a little different now because I'll be reading this passage out loud and you don't have it in front of you, so just hear it. I'll read it twice initially for you to grasp whatever God might be saying to you in it, the word or phrase that particularly catches you, and then reading it again to allow you to reflect on how that word or phrase and how the passage as a whole impacts you personally. How does it speak to your particular life experience, what you're going through right now? And then I'll read it again and ask you to respond. Respond in prayer, to process this, to begin to process this with God. What is God calling you to do? What is God bringing to mind that maybe you need to confess? What hope is God giving you? What encouragement is God giving you, and what might that encouragement lead you to do or to feel? And then finally, I'm just going to ask us to rest for just a couple moments in this sense of God's presence. The passage is Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. It's important, I think, to, as Ruth Haley Barton tells us, to quiet ourselves first, to be comfortable enough that we're not distracted by our bodies, but not so comfortable that we fall asleep. And quieted so that the word is what we hear. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they develop us. They help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead us to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Reading a second time again for listening for that word or phrase that God gives you. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead us to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Now take some time to reflect on what you have heard, the word or phrase that God has brought to your heart, and what it means for you and how it intersects with your life. I'll read it again. And as I read, prayerfully hear the words and ask God what response you might be called to give. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. And in this last step, the resting, or the remaining just want to encourage you to continue to rest in what God has said to you, but also add to that or just focus on. God has given us his Holy Spirit, filling our hearts with love. Allow God's Spirit to remind you, not just in your mind, but in your heart, of God's love for you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love for us. We pray that we would grow in our love for you, that you would build within us passion for you as you have passion for us. Your love for us is so great that you sacrificed for us. There was no need for you to do it except our need. So we give you thanks. We pray for those who are listed on our prayer page. We pray that you would bring help and comfort and strength, that you would pour your love into the hearts of those who are struggling. We pray for your presence with each one. And we pray for your church, this church, and all the churches of our community and around our nation and around the world, that you would equip us to be faithful to you, that you would make your church more and more a shining light of truth and goodness and grace, and remind us where we have gotten off course so that we can get back on course and reflect your love and grace more effectively. We pray for this continuing process of developing sacred rhythms in our lives. We know that some will resonate well with some and others will resonate better with others. We just pray that for each one there will be something that we can add to our lives to help us to know you more. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for your grace toward us. Strengthen us in our hearts by your love through the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with us all. Amen.